Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Rise Above Justice Movement podcast. My name is Zachary Mallory, and I am the founder and host of the Rise Above Justice Movement podcast and the Rise Above Justice Movement. Today, I am joined by an incredibly beautiful human being that I have known for a little over a year now, and the original hype woman, Erin. Welcome to the Rise Above Justice Movement podcast.
Oh, Zachary. I'm so glad the universe finally brought us together in this lifetime. Took a while, took a bit, but it made it happen, and now we are forever in each other's corner, hyping our collective movements. And what you have built, what you continue to build, the impact that your organization has, yes, out on the world and what's happening in these larger spheres of power and influence, but also what's happening inside of individuals because you are speaking directly to them and to something that they maybe have forgotten. That is going to have impact for generations. And so I hope you feel the power of your work and you know that this is changing neural pathways and cells inside of people's bodies, making them more embodied and bringing us all to a greater, higher good.
To anybody out there, can you tell that Erin is a hype woman? Because she is, and making me tear up over here. But Erin, it is likewise, because I believe in collective power. I believe in collective liberation and ensuring that our voices together, the most marginalized, all come together for a reason. And I believe that those powers together, it makes a ginormous movement that nobody even knows how to measure. So thank you for those incredibly words. See, I'm so freaking tongue twisted, but those incredibly powerful words, because it's so well reciprocated. And likewise, now you wrote a book, and to anybody out there, you've probably heard the title of this book a dozen and a half times. But it is Hype Women Breaking Free from Mean Girls, Patriarchy, and Systems Silencing You. So there's a lot to unpack here, and I'm going to let you unpack it in the best way that you do, because you do it best. Because you're not just an author, you're not just a hype woman, but you're also somebody who embodies what it means to be a free spirit. So, with that being said, walk us through what hype women, we connected through the election. You were hype women, we were survivors. Whenever you put those two forces together, ooh, bitch. So that's a whole nother level of organizing that I didn't even know was possible. Because you uplifted us, we uplifted you, and we're going to continue doing that. Because we have this international platform of over 200,000 people, which is deeply mind-blowing to me. How we just started just speaking our truth and people caught on to it. But I'm deeply inspired to sit down, analyze this book, read this book, do future, collaborations with you, et cetera. Because there's a lot of opportunity there. But I've spoken a lot. It's your turn. So again, walk us through Hype Women and what your inspiration is behind this book specifically, because patriarchy.
I mean, damn, right? Patriarchy, that's one hell of a drug. It's one hell of a drug. It's insidious. And what I started to realize over the course of my 15-year corporate career, and then inside of the first company that I co-founded, was how much of my personality, my identity, what I thought was my belief system was actually my conditioning. When I gave myself permission to sit back and look at what I thought the world was, and I said, is this what you actually believe, or is this what you've been told your whole life to believe? That started to break down tenets of my operating system that I held as foundational. One of those tenets was women are my competition. They are threats, especially in my career, but yes, in my personal life as well. And this idea that if she gets something, it means I don't. I looked at this, and for the first time, instead of going directly to shame and blame, I said, Aaron, of course you think that. You've been told your whole life to think this. You don't see enough women in positions of power and influence. Therefore, the insinuation is if she gets the role, she took your spot. There isn't enough room. And I'm a straight white cisgendered woman. So I have a ton of power and privilege in this world, not because I deserve it or because I earned it, but because we live in a white supremacist patriarchy. And that white supremacist patriarchy has decided that this archetype gets a fucking pass and gets to sit in more rooms and gets to have more power and influence. Yes, when we look across every sector, every business, government, we see straight white cisgendered men running most things. But the danger of straight white cisgendered women when they are foot soldiers to the patriarchy is that they get to sit in two spaces. They get to be in the room of all men and represent women monolithically. And they get to sit in the room of all women. And more often than not, have more power and privilege that they can wield and weaponize at their discretion. And so I began to look around and say, who is safe? When I look at the people and the places that I exist inside of, who is actually safe? And people that I had started companies with, people that I had decades-long friendships with, people that I was related to, they didn't pass the sniff test anymore. And that, Zachary, is really disruptive to your life because it is the infrastructure of your routine, your way of working, your way of socializing, your traditions. And having a hard conversation about that and deciding that this is not the way forward is not one that everyone wants to have because it's really difficult. And it leaves people behind. It creates a version of your history with someone that becomes just that, the past. And that can be really painful. But I turned 40. This is a bit of a long-winded answer to your question, but it was a bit of the it's kind of like what are the seeds necessary to examine before we understand like why this grew into what it grew into. All of that was bubbling under the surface for me. It had been really starting to pick up pace once I became a mother when I was 34. And then what broke me open was Donald Trump being elected. Because I looked around and said, oh my God, we are so much farther behind than I thought we were. Wow, I really got to just kind of coast as a straight white cisgendered woman, even someone who has devoted my life to using my platform, using any power and privilege I have to be a voice, to amplify the voices of those who are any degree of difference in diversity from a straight white cisgendered man. My first job out of college was Service Members Legal Defense Network. Our entire mission was to lift the ban on gays in the military. And we ultimately did that. So this has always been my life, my life's work. But I realized how I had really kind of become a part of the fucking machine. And I was doing things unknowingly that were contributing to the problem. And I was enabling shit. And so when I started to dismantle that, my whole fucking life fell apart. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
And you know what that exactly is called? It's called reclaiming your power, reclaiming your voice, and reclaiming your truth, because it's your power, it's your voice, your story. And I know that through this book, I can imagine how incredibly hard this book was to write. I can't even imagine the countless number of sticky notes, or the countless number of notebooks, or the countless number of, tears that were shed. I cannot imagine, because you poured your heart and soul into this. And look at your social media. Look at the movement of women coming together from all backgrounds, saying, you know what? No. We're going to take a step back. We're going to reclaim our truth, reclaim our power, and reclaim who we are as women. As non-binary folks, as LGBTQ people, as disabled people. My mom is a survivor herself. She is currently battling stage 3C cervical cancer. She's going to be reading your book because the systems have silenced her. She knows, and the systems are still attempting to silence her by taking away her food stamps, taking away potentially her SSI, potentially taking away her Medicaid. Without Medicaid, she literally cannot afford, and I definitely cannot afford, but more importantly, she cannot afford her cancer treatments that she's still required to take. Because Medicaid is literally a fucking lifeline. It is not a handout. My mom is not lazy. My mom is not a freeloader. She is not any of that. Nobody is. Literally, nobody is. That is the system working exactly how it was designed to oppress people directly, like my mother, like you, Aaron, like myself, and everybody else who is listening to this podcast and who follows us on social media knows we will continue calling it out because I am unafraid. My reason why is for that 12-year-old that is hiding in that closet that does not have a fucking choice because the Supreme Court, administrations, elected officials said so. That's my reason. Now, with that being said, this is coming from a male perspective. And I know people are like, oh, Zachary is preaching to the choir, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm saying it for the people that are in the back, that are sitting on the sidelines, not saying a goddamn thing right now, letting our communities fall apart. That's who I'm talking to. I'm not talking to people who get it, or not only to people that just get it. I'm also talking to those people that are in the back of the room that are just taking up space, blocking it from people coming in who actually want to be a part of the solution instead of taking us further back, because we already went back with Roe v. Wade. We already went back over 50 fucking years. How much further are we going to allow us to continue going back? That is my question. We're not going back.
We're not going back.
And it's more than just a hashtag, it's a movement, it's a mission. We're not going back.
The patriarchy is coming at us so hard right now, Zachary, because they know how close we are. They know how close we are to remembering our fucking power, to reclaiming our power, to realizing that we are not alone. They want us to feel alone. They want us to feel othered. They want us to feel like we're not taken care of. And that is not true. And so, with the movement that you've created, with the space that you are having these conversations, with the rooms that you are gathering, people are remembering. And they are realizing that this is the experience of so many others. So, when I woke up, you and I were in the trenches together, working 107 days to elect our first woman president, first Black South Asian woman president. And when I woke up on November 5th or 6th, I can't remember what day it was, to the reality that all of our work had not come to fruition. It was the first time in my life that I didn't run to fix it. And people like you and I, our operating system was built in fight or flight. We thrive in chaos. We are willing to put our bodies out in front on the line. And so, sitting, being calm, not running is a very difficult place to be. Right? Calm. Chaos made my skin tingle, and calm made my skin crawl. And that day I decided, hold on, what if we're focusing on the wrong thing? What if all of us who poured everything we had to pour into this campaign, those of us who have been working and continue to work in these spaces to ensure that we are taking care of our people, what if we're focusing on the wrong thing, which is trying to change everything up here, this macro, highest levels, all of the policy, all of it. What if we instead shifted from the macro to the micro? And we started to take care of ourselves in the way that we so graciously pour into others. What if we started to focus on what's happening inside of our own homes? What if we started to focus on what was happening inside of our own bodies, our own communities? And if all of us started to do more of that, what does that look like visually across the nation, across the globe, across the universe? That is a tectonic plate shifting uprising that actually cannot be stopped. Cannot be stopped. Because, yes, they want us distracted, Zachary. They want us marching. They want us taking in all of the social media content, all of the shit that they're pouring out. They want us flooded. They want us disrupted. They want our nervous system dysregulated. But what if we said, yeah, fucking do that. Go ahead. We're going to take care of each other on our terms, our way. We are going to come back inside of our homes into our bodies, and we are going to actually go to the root of this. They can't fucking stop us then. And so that is what I am seeing. It's what is giving me so much damn hope. It's what you are doing in the way that you do it best. It is what I am inviting anyone who reads my book, woman, man, non-binary folks, is to invite you to ask yourself the question, is it still working? When you are looking at your relationships, your friendships, the way you work, your daily habits, your traditions, your rituals, are they still working? Because guess what? They have worked. They got you here. They fucking saved you. So no shade, no shade to any of that. But if you are different now, then the old way of doing things may not work. So if you're ready to do it a different way, you're going to need help, you're going to need support, you're going to need community, and you're going to need to start slow. And so that's what I want us to be doing for each other. That is what we're doing, right? We're going to take care of your mom. We're going to make sure she gets what she needs. We're going to do it in a unique and creative way. They want to fucking take the food stamps away. They want to fucking cancel the Medicaid. Well, we're going to surround her and we're going to figure it the fuck out. They are not going to destroy us because we are actually greater and en masse more powerful than they are. And so that is the shift that happened for me, Zachary, after you and I worked on this campaign and we brought the intersections of all of us together, is I said, oh my God, is the message that We didn't win because we're playing the wrong fucking game. And if that is the case, then let's go start our own fucking revolution. Let's create our own damn ecosystem. Let's do this on our terms. New rules, new players, new way. My heart rate is at 86 right now. Sitting.
So let's take a moment, recognize within ourselves that this is exactly what they want. This is exactly what they want us to do. These are the conversations that we need to continue having because these are the conversations that lead into the collective liberation, which I wholeheartedly believe in the decolonization of our communities and going back to those original roots of self-care, the decolonization of within ourselves. The generational trauma still exists in the United States, and it's going to continue existing for generations to come. But what we can do is have those future generations realize that, hey, they work their asses off. We can too. And I learned from my grandfather at a very young age that if you see an issue, if you see a need, there's a key thing that you can do. He said, it's your right to do so. Organize. A year ago, I was sitting in my bedroom at home, looked over at my partner at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I said, are you awake? And she's like half ass awake, half ass asleep. She had to work that morning. And she was like, yeah, what do you need? And I said, well, I want to organize. And she said, can you wait until 9 a.m. because I work at 10 a.m. Can you wait until nine
She's
a.m.
like, I'm sorry, we don't organize before 9 a.m. That's just a rule in the house. Didn't know if you're aware of it, but it is fair.
She's like, can it just wait? And I was like, no, I can't. I gotta do something now. So I get on Facebook and I was like, survivors. I was like, there's nothing. There is nothing. And I was like, what the fuck? There is nothing. So then I posted in this group. And then I'm connected to Hadley the Ball. And then from there, it just continues blossoming into something that I never even imagined. A year later, 200,000 followers on social media, thousands of people listening to a podcast, connecting to people like you, connecting to people like Gwen, my co-founder, connecting to Mercedes, my other co-founder, connecting people that are fighting for my mom. And now we're being added to Congress members' posts, and it's like, let's take a second back because these are not just people that my mom's gonna hate that I say this. She's heard this numerous times, and anybody who's on this podcast or anybody who listens to the podcast, you know that I say this all the time. I'm sorry, Mom, but I gotta say it again. These are not people that you just meet at your local gas station. I can hear her in my head. It's like she's sitting right here because, well, for anybody who knows, my mom does listen to the podcast. She, we will go on car rides. She'll listen to the episodes. So, Erin, I know she's going to want to listen to this one. I already know that. She's going to tell me I want to listen to Erin's episode. I already know how she's going to feel about it because it's exactly how I feel. I learned from my mom at a young age about how to fight for people that are different than you, how to fight for those marginalized voices. Because these systems continue to oppress us, these systems continue to silence us, but it is up to us to break those generational, that generational trauma. It is up to us to reclaim our voices, reclaim our power, and use it to help others that are outside of who we are. And Aaron, you embody that. You bring that energy to every single thing that you do, and you have one of my absolute favorite people on this entire world that wrote the foreword for your book, and it's no other than Jamie Lee fucking Curtis. Now, I grew up watching Jamie Lee Curtis on Halloween, on Freaky Friday with Lindsay Lohan, watching her on social media amplify women's voices, fight for LGBTQ rights, fight for abortion rights, fight for reproductive rights. She's just a well-embodied human being. That is one of the most inspirational souls that literally anybody could ever know. So, thinking about that, walk us through that process of getting JLC to write your foreword and what that felt like for you having, I title you as the original hype woman, but it really is Jamie Lee Curtis because she's been doing this for literally fucking decades. Not
Oh my
aging
God.
her. I love her, legends. Legends will always exist, but Jamie is that original hype woman because she broke through those barriers and tore down those fucking walls, and she said, "You know what? I exist, and I don't give a goddamn who likes it or who does not like it." I can hear her saying something like that because it's like I've been listening to her for years, because I have. But walk us through that process for you. Like, what does that feel like? It feels like all the bullshit is totally worth it in that moment. I can't even, I'm so excited to hear this part. But walk me through.
When your intuition tells you something that doesn't feel like a fleeting thought or a passing moment or a flippant idea, but instead it feels like a solid period at the end of a run-on sentence that you have been desperately trying to complete, you have to follow it. And so, this interaction that I will share that began the relationship that I have with Jamie Lee Curtis was one of those moments. It was an intuitive hit. And while I know that we can't follow every intuitive hit, it's just we would be like running in different directions all the time, especially if we're people who are activators and who are like constantly coming up with ideas and we like see solutions and we want to help and we want to jump in. And then also, you have life responsibilities that keep you from being able to go and pursue something when you're like, no, I actually have to pick up the kids from school or I have to fucking make the dinner or I have to do these other things. I have to take my mom to the doctor. Like, I can't now think about buying this URL and starting another movement. But what happened for me is I was looking at Instagram and this photo came into my field. And it was a picture of Jamie Lee Curtis with her arms outstretched, screaming. And next to her was Michelle Yeoh, looking overwhelmed with her head in her hands. And without context, when you see that photo, you think Jamie won something, she's celebrating, and maybe Michelle is upset. What we come to learn is that that moment was captured at the Golden Globes when Michelle Yeoh won Best Actress for her lead role in Everything Everywhere All at Once. And what I come to learn, because Jamie tells me, is that 5 minutes before that photo was taken, Michelle was nervous. She looked sick to her stomach before this was like when the Golden Globes cut to commercial before they were coming back to announce the winner of Best Actress. And Jamie said, "Babe, what's going on? Why do you look so upset and stressed?" And Michelle said, "I've never been nominated for anything before." This is Michelle fucking Yeoh. Storied, working actor with decades of experience. Not only was this the first time that she was cast in a lead role, nor was it just the first time that she won something. It was the first time that she was put forward, that she was nominated, that she was a part of the consideration set. So, Zachary, you and I can have a whole other avenue of a conversation about why we don't see as many women and people of color, and in particular, women of color in positions of power and influence being rewarded and awarded as they deserve because not because they don't have ambition, ability, or aspiration, but because they don't have access. She wasn't even a part of the consideration set. And now that she was, look, she fucking won. And so Jamie, when her name was announced, was elated. She knew what that felt like. She embodied the unabashed hype woman vibe. And so when I saw that photo, I thought to myself, we so rarely see this. A woman celebrating another woman's success as if it is her own. And so I wrote a post on LinkedIn from my phone as I was looking at it. Ladies, this is your vibe for 2023. Unabashed hype women. You are going to unlearn what you've been taught, that women are your competition, that a light on her casts a shadow on you. It's a lie. It's a trap. They have been doing this to keep us distracted and keeping each other down. We are going to make a different choice. We're going to hype women when we have that feeling, that inclination that says, why her? What about me? Is she really that good? Because if you fall for it, you are perpetuating this. You are a foot soldier to the patriarchy without it being your choice. So I write it and I post it and I don't look at it again. And the next morning I wake up and it is everything, everywhere, all at once. Because not only did it go viral in its own right on LinkedIn, but Jamie Lee Curtis's friends saw the post and sent it to her. And she then posted it to her at the time 5.6 million Instagram followers. And she said, this post moved me. It really captures who I am. And it's a message I think we all need to hear. And she referenced a role that she played the Heidi Chron in the Heidi Chronicles, where at the very end, she delivers a monologue that's about all of the women's movement. And like, I thought we were supposed to be in this together, but we're fucking fighting. We are actually tearing each other down because we are missing the damn point. And from there, Jamie and I have been volleying hype back and forth to one another in an unwritten contract of amplifying each other's work. And so a year after that post, Jamie is on The View and the Today Show and the Kelly Clarkson Show talking about her 13th children's book, Good Things Come to Those Who Wait and Wait and Wait. And she talked about me. Because every single one of them brought up this post and said, what is this? What is this hype women movement? And she said my name in rooms where I'm not. And I mean, you want to talk about like real full circle. Jamie is in Freakier Friday and it is killing it, but it is still not meeting the threshold of that $150 million in revenue mark that like establishes a movie in the eyes of Hollywood and the external validators. And the director of Freakier Friday, Nisha Ganatra, reaches out to me and says, can you bring the power of the hype women movement to get women to the and people to the theaters this weekend to help us get it over this threshold? And I said, fuck yes. And I pulled together a campaign and I collabed with Jamie on it. And that post got in front of a million people and we got them over the mark. So what if we believe that this is collective? What if we believe that it's not competitive? I was nervous to ask Jamie to write the foreword to my book because I felt like maybe she's done enough. Maybe she's done. Maybe this is like going to be one thing too far. But I realized the worst thing that can happen is she says no. And I will absolutely count myself out if I don't ask. And so I did my best to time it, and I thought about it for months before I asked her, and I was anxious. And then one morning I just said, fucking do it. There's no, like, my publisher was like, yo, are you getting it or not? Like, move on to the next person if you're not gonna ask. And so I texted her and I said, would you do me the honor of writing the foreword to my book? And Zachary, I stopped writing. I didn't say like, but I know you're busy. I know you have a lot going on and like, no big deal if you can't, like totally get it. Like, I mean, you know what? Never mind. Like I didn't word vomit and fill in the blank of the silence to like make it more comfortable if she was going to say no. I asked the question and I let it sit there. And 5 minutes later, she responded with the foreword to my book in the text message. So you don't get what you don't ask for. And there are going to be people in your life who are enhancers. They support you. They show up. They do something if you ask them to do it. There are going to be people who are expanders. These are the people who see what you're doing and say, more. Yes. And what about this? What if we? And then there are going to be people who are extinguishers, the ones who say, I don't think it's going to work. Why are you doing that? I don't know if that is what they meant. You have to figure out who these people are, and then you have to build your life around the enhancers and the expanders. And you have to start giving less time and energy to those that are extinguishing your light. I am grateful that the universe decided that Jamie Lee Curtis and I were going to come into each other's lives in this lifetime. And I also recognize that I am one of so many that have asked her to help amplify. And I can't imagine what that must feel like to have that coming at you every day to the degree that I know she does. And so, what I try to do in my way is to pour into her when I can and to help her remember that it is not just about what she does for others, but just who she is. And we need those people too.
I sit here and I think about the first time I saw Jamie Lee Curtis in a role, which again, I grew up on Halloween. And I knew then she was a badass. Now, did I realize who she was actually going to become and like who she, what she does, and I have to agree, whenever you say, I can't imagine what that's like having people come at you from all angles every single day, every single moment. Like, can you help me amplify this? Can you help me amplify this? Can you help me amplify this? Like, that's got to be incredibly difficult. I can't even imagine. Now, I sit here and I complain about 20 DMs on our Instagram, but she probably gets like 2 million. I'm just imagining, and it's got to be astronomical. It has to, all my love to Jamie. Like seriously, the original hype woman. I send all my love to her because I don't know how she does it, but I'm damn glad she does because it's amplified your voice, it's amplified my friend Sarah Cunningham, which I'm also connected to, which is also another hype woman that Jamie and Sarah connected in a very beautiful way. And I think back to that whenever I first read about Sarah Cunningham and, growing up in like this extreme like religion, and then also like, she has a gay son, like learning about her story really opened my eyes a lot. And then I saw she connected with Jamie Lee Curtis, and I was like, this is literally that full circle moment. This is who I always knew JLC was going to be. That I always knew she's going to be a staunch ally. I already knew that. Did I know the impact that she would actually have? No. But we do now, and we're forever grateful. Like I said, JLC is a legend and always will be. Now, again, thank you for coming on the podcast today. You have an open invite literally anytime, and there's so many other things that we can talk about. Where can people find you on social media? Where can people purchase your book? Because it's going to go into the description of this podcast episode, as well as on our bio, and then, in the description of the episode and all that stuff. But where can people find you on social media and help amplify your work? Where can people, purchase your book? Which I obviously recommend those smaller stores or small locally owned stores versus, Amazon, not to discredit that, et cetera. But those small independent stores are going to need our love the most right now. Those billionaire companies, they're going to be bought out. They're going to be bailed out. They're good. Think about those smaller stores. So if there's any independent bookstore that you know of, feel free to share that,
Oh yeah.
whatever is easiest. But where can people
Yes.
find you at?
Yes, I agree and I love that, and I think there's a couple of ways to support your local independent bookstore, or an independent bookstore that's maybe not in your area but that you have a lot of heart for. Bookshop.org is a great place that has kind of collated all of that, and that independent bookstore gets a percentage of the sales, and bookshop.org does the lift of bringing that book in and then sending it to you and all of those things. You can also go to that independent bookstore in person or send them a message and say, I'd like to order this book from you. Can you make sure you have it in stock? Because then they're getting even more of that revenue. So I hugely support that. There are two incredible bookstores that I love in the Chicago area, which is where I live. Semicolon is the first and only Black women-owned bookstore in Chicago. And Zora's Place is the first and only Black women-owned bookstore in Evanston, owned by my friend L'Oreal Thompson Payton. And I just believe that these small acts, these choices that we make, have such a ripple effect. And it may feel like you're not doing enough or a lot, but the truth is, don't think about it that way. Think about when you make those choices, when you take those steps, and someone next to you is doing the same thing. Think about what that visually looks like. That, I'm obsessed with butterflies, as you can see. They're like all over my office. I have tattoos. Like, my book is divided into three parts: the caterpillar, the cocoon, and the butterfly. When a butterfly flaps its wings, it creates a breeze. But when hundreds, thousands, millions of butterflies are flapping their wings together, they change the weather pattern on the opposite side of the planet. That's what we're up to. That's what we're doing with our movements. The collective, it's together. We are not in competition. We are not fighting for space. We are creating more. And so hypewomen.com is where I have all of my information. You can find out everything that's going on with the book and with the movement and the podcast and all of the things. And so definitely head there. You can buy Hype Women, my book that's now been out for a few weeks, anywhere you prefer to buy your books, as we talked about, including bookshop.org. And then I used to spend a lot of time on LinkedIn, Zachary, but I believe that the algorithm has been silencing women and people of color and any person with a differing degree of diversity than the straight white cisgendered man for a long fucking time. And so I canceled my LinkedIn premium subscription and I moved myself from LinkedIn to Substack, where that is now my primary content publishing platform. I still hang out on LinkedIn. I've got 80,000 really engaged and beautiful followers there, but I always direct them to my Substack. It's a little trick. But I'm also on Instagram, erin.gallagher, Gallag dot her, right? Long game. Play the long game with marrying my husband. I was like, oh, you have her in your name? Yeah, let's do this. And so I spent some time there, and Hype Women for Harris, the coalition that I created and we built, that was recognized by Oprah and VP Harris at Oprah's Unite for America event in October last year. That handle still exists, and I co-post from it all the time because it's a different group of incredible, engaged people. And so that's where I am. And I would love to spend time with more of you and to amplify your work and to truly bring the hype.
Absolutely. You speak the power to the truth and truth to the power, because ultimately in the end, all we have is each other, because mainstream media is not going to save us. This administration is not going to save us. We got to save ourselves.
Damn straight.
And we do that by uplifting each other, supporting each other. And with that, you know, I love you very
Love
dearly.
you. Love you so much.
Oh, damn. I just got emotional. But you know what? And I will continue to be here to fight alongside you, to continue amplifying you. Again, thank you for sharing your voice, your platform. And you don't realize the impact that you're having. I don't realize the impact that I'm having, but together, we'll do this damn thing. You take care of yourself, okay?
I will stand before you, beside you, and behind you in whatever way you need. I have your back, and we are in this together.
I love you, my friend. Take
Love
care of
you,
yourself.
Zachary.